The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I began several weeks ago about proof of life. You know, what is this proof of life? And for our text we've been using from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And it's going to come up on the screen. Yeah, there it is. All right. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. So that, particularly verse 15, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. The whole book of 1 John is about proving and understanding and having a security about who we are in Christ. In fact, he says these things have been written that you can know. So we've been talking about those things over the past several weeks. We spoke the first sermon about how we know we're alive. And there's ways we can know we're alive. Then we went on the next week and spoke about what are some signs of life or false signs of life. Sometimes people are delusional. They believe they're Christians, but the evidence isn't there to prove it. And last week, a week before last, we spoke about why following God's instructions is proof of life. And today I want to deal with a subject that's near to all of us, and that is the absence of fear is a proof of life. The absence of fear is a proof of life. And let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is the New Living Translation. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. The King James Version uses the word torment there, fear of torment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. As You said, Lord, the Word of God is meat and drink to us. It's the nourishment that we need. And I ask You to nourish us this morning, Father, by the presence of Your Spirit. Teach us the things that we need to know, particularly concerning the subject of fear. And Father, I pray that everyone who is in this room and those who are watching the video via the internet, Lord, that they will be liberated and set free from the fears that beset them. And we pray these things and we ask these things in the name of Jesus the Lord. And everybody said, amen. All right, I got a video that I want you to see. It's about 2 minutes long, and it's kind of a man on the street video. Some people were interviewed about fear.
What are some of the things that you're most fearful of?
Most fearful of? Spiders. I don't like spiders.
I'm really scared of spiders. They really freak me out. Bugs?
I'm afraid of a lot of things, especially girls, and I'd have to say squirrels.
Dying. Dying like, not necessarily dying, but like dying the way I die. Like, you know, old age or bad sickness or something like that.
A head-on collision while driving. I know.
Why?
I just always have fear. I was in a car accident and we were sideswiped, and I'm just fear of being in a car and being hit by somebody else, and I don't know, live on country roads.
I'm fearful that we have a world that's fallen away from the teachings of Jesus Christ. Loving your fellow man, loving your fellow woman. And that's it. If we all loved everyone just more than we loved ourselves, then we wouldn't have anything to be fearful of. We'd live in a peaceful, beautiful world.
Snakes
and big spiders.
Snakes
and high places.
Women.
Oh, goodness. Getting lost.
Maybe someone chasing me with a knife or something.
Nuclear war.
Public speaking.
Ooh. Fencing and porcupines. Yeah.
Why fencing?
Fencing. I don't know. Just the whole, like, mask thing and the rapier coming toward you. Very scary.
I've got pretty strong faith, so there's not a whole lot that scares me, I guess. I know I can get through pretty much anything.
I've never heard of anyone who's afraid of porcupines before. But evidently, some people are. I'm afraid that we live much of our lives in fear, and those fears keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Many of us live in fear, and that fear is debilitating and crippling. Things we won't do. Some of you won't fly. You know, you'd rather get on the interstate where there's some, well, I think the last count I heard was like 30,000 people a year get killed, not to mention I'm going to get maimed, get killed on the interstate. You'd rather drive across the country in a car where you got a real high probability of getting hurt than get on a plane when the probability is that you'd never get hurt on a plane. You know, people are just afraid. People won't climb mountains. They're afraid of, you know, heights. They don't want to get up that high. People are afraid of to ride horses. I fall in that category. I don't like to be around anything that's bigger than me that I can't control. So I'm not crazy about horses. The number one fear that people have, you know what it is? The number one fear?
Public speaking.
She's right. It's the number one fear. If I got you up here, y'all look nice and brave sitting here. If I got you up here and asked you to say something, you'd just be shivering. So public speaking is one of the main things. People are afraid to take risks. That's why they live lives of quiet desperation. They won't take a risk to do something. So Ann Landers, all of you are familiar with Ann Landers, she gets on average about 10,000 letters a month. That's a lot. The number one topic that people write about is fear. And she said, people are afraid of life. Just afraid of life. And the more I thought about that and thought back on people I've, in my own life that I've met and in my own life, the situations I've been through, I would say that's true. But the sad thing is that believers live in fear. I can understand the ungodly living in fear. They have something to be afraid of. But believers are also living in fear and live much like the world. Christians, there was a lady that I knew who was a believer many years ago, and she was deathly afraid of snakes. So much so that if she would see a picture of a snake, she would get sick. I mean, physically sick. She went to the zoo one time and accidentally went into the area where they have all the snakes, the reptile area. She almost had a panic attack. I mean, began to hyperventilate. I mean, this is one of the, you know, loves the Lord, serves God, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks in other tongues. You know, all the things that you look at and say, man, this is somebody who's really serving God, witnessed for the Lord, sang for God, did a lot of things. And yet this fear of snakes had overpowered her life. And it was just absolutely destroying her and absolutely making her sick. Now, God made some provisions for us to help us deal with and overcome fear. He gave us His love. He gave us His presence. He gave us His word. And actually, He gave us His faith. So we have a lot of things that we can use. And this morning, I want to go into some detail about that. I want you to know that if you will continue to live in fear, if you continue in it, and you don't do something to break out of it, It's a denial of God in your life. It's a denial of the power of God. And I'm going to explain that in some detail this morning to help you get over this. So today, let's look at the ways that you can dispel fears. And the first thing is, you overcome fear with God's love. God's love overcomes fear. Let's look again at verse 18 that we just looked at. This is a New Living Translation. It says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Well, where do you find perfect love? In God, right? God is defined as love. So that perfect love expels, or if you're used to the King James Version, it casts out all fear. It gets fear out of our lives. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment. I like the King James word, torment. We're fear of punishment, and this shows we have not fully experienced His perfect love. In other words, there's something wrong with our relationship with God. We're letting fear override our lives instead of God controlling our lives. Interestingly enough, you've heard the word phobia. People have phobias, all right? Some of you have some phobias. A phobia, by definition, is an unfounded fear. The word fear that you see here in this translation is from the Greek word phobos, from which we get the English word phobia. It's an unfounded fear. We're afraid of things that don't exist. We're afraid of things that's going to happen that will never happen. And those things control what we say, what we do, the way that we live, and many times the health that we have, because we let fear override us. The enemy of fear is love. That's God's love is the enemy of fear. And God's love removes it, and it says that it drives it out. It actually drives fear out. Now, I want to prove that to you. In the natural, let's say there's a woman who is afraid of swimming and doesn't know how to swim. I know people like that. They won't even go near a swimming pool or go near a place or get in a boat because they're afraid of going into the water. Some little boys are afraid of water. That's why they won't take baths. But you take a woman who is afraid of water and let one of her children fall into water. She will dive in to that water and risk her own life in order to save that child. How is she able to do that? Because the love is greater than the fear. She loves that child. That's why we'll risk our lives. So one thing we try to protect is our lives. When a loved one is in danger, we will risk everything in order to save that individual. Because we have a love for someone, and we overcome our fears. So in the natural, our natural love allows us to overcome our fears. But in a greater way, the Spirit of God within us gives us the ability to overcome our fears. If you are living in fear, you are in a very real way denying the present God, the presence of God in your life. The unreasonableness of fear needs to be addressed. It's unreasonable for you to be fearful. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a phobia. It doesn't make any sense. The reason is that there is no fear in love. Now that's a truism. How many of you think God woke up this morning and was afraid of anything? Let me see your hands. He's not afraid. Why not? One of the reasons, He is perfect love. Now, if you believe that we're born again, everybody here says you believe you're born again, you know, shake your heads, all right? Born again. And what happens when you are born again? You do what? You receive what? The Spirit of God. God dwells in you. Remember the scripture? It says you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if the Spirit of God is inside of you, and that is perfect love, and it has no fear, why are you afraid? Is something going to happen to you that's going to frighten God? He said, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was going to happen. You know, God's not afraid for you. In fact, he says, I know my plans for you, and my plans are good. Now, you're afraid of what might happen, but God's not afraid. In fact, God will take the things that you're afraid of and use those things for his good and for his glory. He will absolutely transform your life and take your fears and use them for good. Now, these two things, fear and love, are mutually exclusive. By that, you can't have them in the same place at the same time. All right? I want to prove that to you. You can have love, but you can't have fear. God is love, and fear is evil. Do you know that? You know there was a time when there was no fear in the world? Did you know that? Do you remember when it was? In the Garden of Eden. Very good. And what happened when sin entered into the world and death entered into the world? And we see Adam and Eve do something. They, you know, they ate of the forbidden fruit. And they did something. Remember what they did? What did they do? They what? They hid themselves. And God went searching for them and asked where they were. And he asked them, why are you hiding? Do you remember what they said? We're afraid. See, that's where fear came in. Prior to that time, they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of anything. Why? Because nothing could harm them. They were under God's divine protection. God was watching over them. But when sin entered into the world, death entered into the world, fear entered into the world, we've been scared ever since. We're afraid of our own shadow. We're afraid of things that just will not happen. Pat and I were driving home from Florida, and I heard a funny noise in the car. I was driving along the interstate, and I thought, my fear showed up. I thought, maybe we can have a blowout. You know, maybe there's a fan belt's going to break off the car. I only got one arm. I can't fix it myself. You know, what am I going to do? In fact, we got a little, we're in Pat's car, and it's got a little thing that tells you what the pressure is in the tires. I said, let me check the tires. I didn't tell Pat anything. So I reached over and pushed the button, and the tire pressure was perfect. I said, oh, maybe that's not going to happen. So, well, maybe there's something really wrong with the engine. There wasn't anything wrong with the engine. It was something in the back of the car rattling what it was. But fear jumped in right in the middle of a nice drive from Florida back to Louisiana. We're fearful of things that just will not happen. Now, the other thing is about fear being unreasonable. Fear has to do with punishment. Now, you're going to have to really pay attention to me right now, okay? Because this is very, very important. This will get to the very root of fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Fear actually brings torment into our lives. It torments us. It robs us of our joy. It robs us of our sense of well-being. It robs us from the life that God would have us to have. And when that fear comes in, we are being robbed and tormented. Fear condemns us. This is the way fear condemns it. It said, you know, you deserve that. That's just what you deserve for the life that you live. You know that lie you told? You deserve for something bad to happen to you. That's what fear says. That's what you deserve. You know, you stole something, and because you stole it, you deserve for something bad to happen to you. You cussed and used foul language, you deserve something bad to happen to you. You did something immoral, looked at something you shouldn't have looked at, you deserve for something bad to happen to you. The way you talk to your parents, the way you talk to your kids, the way you talk to your aunt, your uncle, the people on the job, someone in the grocery store, wherever you are, whatever you did, when you do that thing, and fear comes by and says, the other shoe's about to drop. The balloon's about to burst. Life is too good for you to live this way. that something bad's going to happen to you because you deserve something bad to happen to you. That's what fear does. I know you deserve bad things to happen to you. That's what fear says. And what do? You say, that's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. That is what fear does. But what does God do? My favorite, it's not my favorite, it's just, I say that all the time. It's one of my favorite scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, what does it say? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no accusation, to use another word. There is no blame. God's not saying, you did this, I can't wait to get you back. And I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to let something really, really bad happen to you. That way you'll know to straighten up your act. That's the way we treat God. That's what we think about God. Let me tell you what. God does not do that. God's thoughts towards you are good. He cares about you. He's interested in you. And He's not going to let those things happen to you. Nothing happens to you that is a surprise to God. And when things do happen to you that you don't want to happen to you, why don't you begin to praise God and thank Him instead of being so blooming scared of everything? You know, you've taken a shower and you said, oh my God, it's a lump, it's cancer. You know, it's cancer. Oh man, I know something happened to my leg down here. It started itching kind of funny. You know, and I had a doctor's appointment. I was going anyway for a physical. And I thought, oh man, it's probably something really bad. You know, maybe it's my veins are falling apart. You know, something really bad's going to happen to me. So I went to the doctor and I said, well, he did a physical. And I just kind of was nonchalant. I said, hey, doc, this kind of itches me down here a little bit, you know, kind of a little pinprick. I said, and that vein's kind of sticking up on my leg. And he said, you're just getting old, Morris. Just get used to it. You know, nothing wrong with you. You know? But fear comes in, and you think we deserve it. God's love says that He watches over us. You are free from condemnation, and you should be free from fear. Do you believe in God? Come on, do you believe in God? Do you trust God? Do you believe He's watching over you? Do you believe He's watching over you? Yeah. I want to hear that. Yeah. He watches over our lives because He has plans for our lives and He won't let anything interrupt those plans. Now here's the... Don't be afraid. The problem is that His plans are not necessarily your plans. You know, you think life ought to be a certain way. You know, you want life to be normal. Yeah. Would anybody here please tell me that they have a normal life? I want to see one person with a normal life. Your life isn't normal. I know you, Summer. Don't you lie here in church. The normalness of life is that it's not normal. There are always things going on that we're not expecting or that show up that we weren't prepared for. But God is prepared for those things. This is where our faith begins to work when we say, if this happens to me, God knows about it and He will take me through it. That is the exercise of your faith. There's nothing that comes into your life that God is not aware of. And that He doesn't know about it long in advance, long before you were ever born. Paul said, I was knit in my mother's womb. I was wonderfully made. That all of my days were numbered and known of the Lord. God knows every incident and every situation that is going to happen in your life. Don't be afraid. All right, second thing I want to talk to you about is that you can overcome fear by destroying it. You can actually destroy fear. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The King James Version uses sound mind. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. God knew that sin would make us fearful. And I can't do anything about sin other than you come to know the Lord and let Him deal with it. You can't deal with it yourself. That's why Calvary took place and Christ died. He became sin for us so we wouldn't have to deal with that. Our fears can be destroyed by three God-generated things. The first one is power. God has given us power. You think you're a 98-pound weakling. God knows that you're a 800-pound gorilla in the room. He knows that you have power and authority, that you can do things. Most of what we're afraid of is that we have no control. And I'm here to tell you that you have control over things. When the spirit of fear comes upon you, you can deal with it. You have the power. It says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have more power than any and all circumstances that come against you. And if you learn to use that power, you're a force to be reckoned with in the spiritual realm. You can make the devil tremble, much more so than he can make you tremble. And if you're afraid, you're letting him win instead of letting God win in your life. Second thing is this thing of love. That's that agape love. That's the definition of God. You have God. He gave you power or authority, and he gave you love. One of the reasons he gave you love, so that it would do what? Cast out all fear. You don't need to be afraid anymore. You know, when I was a boy, if you watch the news, Andy, there's this thing going on now about bullies, you know, picking on other kids. There was a bully in my neighborhood, and he was a lot bigger than me, and he was older than me. And he decided to use me for his favorite punching bag. And he would see me, and he'd punch on me, and I'd have bruises, but I didn't want to tell my mother and dad about it. But I was, I don't know, for some reason I had my shirt off. My dad saw my arms, had some black and blue marks. He said, "What happened to you?" And I didn't want to tell him. But you know how parents are pretty good about, you know, getting the truth out of you. You know, they waterboard you and all that kind of stuff. They got ways of getting the truth out of you. And I finally, you know, Tommy, on the block, he said, "He did that to you? That big boy did that to you?" And he said, "Come on, let's go." And I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going to Tommy's house." Lived that around the block from us. My dad drugged me down there. I didn't want to go. But my dad's kind of like God. He gets done what he wants done. And my dad was big and mean enough to do something about it. And we stood out in that guy's sidewalk in front of that guy's house. And my dad called for Tommy's dad. "Hey, Frank, get out here!" I mean, the whole neighborhood, you know, can hear my dad hollering for Frank. So Frank comes out there, you know, "Hey, hello, what do you want? Your boy has been punching on my boy, and that ain't going to happen anymore. As of today, it stops." And he said, Frank says, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" My dad says, "I'm not going to do nothing. I got a nephew who's bigger than your boy, and I'm going to bring him over here, and I'm going to make sure that he beats it." And he used a word that you don't want to hear in church, you know, out of him, so he'll know never to hit my son again. I was hiding behind my dad the whole time was going on. You know what? Never had trouble with Tommy again. If I was going down the street, Tommy went the other way. My dad was able to do it. Now, if my dad, who is a fleshly man, is able to do that for me, how much more so will our heavenly fathers beat back our bullies in our life for us? That's what God wants to do. We just need to trust Him. It says the third thing is that He gives us a sound mind, self-discipline. What we need to do is realize that we have the mind of Christ. We have Christ dwelling within us, and He will give us what we need at any given time to deal with every situation of life. You can't know in advance how to deal with every situation, so don't worry about it. Some things that have happened to you are so big you couldn't deal with them anyway. If I'd have known the day I went down to Venice to go swimming, go fishing, that I was going to lose my arm, I'd have been scared to death if I'd have known what was going to happen. And I went through the whole thing, and some of you have heard the story, you've heard me tell it. And the remarkable thing is that I was not afraid during that whole episode. I never once had fear in my life. Because the first thing I did when it happened to me was call out to God. God, I trust you. I believe in you. Whatever happens, if I'm going home, I'm ready to go. He said, well, how did you do that? I did it by the power and the mind of Christ within me. I didn't have to conjure it up. I didn't have to work it up. I didn't have to think it up. I just had to believe it. And God took care of me on that day. Listen to this. You are made sane by the mind of Christ, and you are made insane by fear. It's insanity to be afraid for a Christian. There is nothing that will happen to you that God doesn't know about. And He's given you power and love and soundness of mind to deal with any and every situation that can come along. The book of Mark has an interesting story. And I don't have the scripture on the overhead, but it's out of Mark chapter 5. And it says this, Jesus went to a place called Gennesaret. And there was a wild man there. And it says in part about him in verse 5, night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Everyone was afraid of this guy. He was afraid of himself. He hated himself. He was fearful. He lived in fear. Jesus showed up, cast the demonic forces out of him. And down in verse 14, we see this guy again. And I love this because there he is. It says he was sitting there dressed and in his right mind. His insanity left and he was sane because of the power and the presence of God. And if you're insane about fear, God wants to give you soundness of mind. You have authority to speak against anything that brings fear. I was in New Orleans many years ago. I was working, setting up a computer convention for my company. And the hotel was in the French Quarter. You know, the French Quarter in New Orleans has got a lot of weird things going on down there. Besides the sexual stuff, I mean the demonic stuff that goes on down there. It's weird. And there was a conference room about the size of this auditorium. And I was by myself, and it was at night. And I was trying to set some things up. And I needed some help. So I went to the general manager. I said, can you send me a couple of guys to come in here and help me set the stuff up? He said, oh, ain't nobody going in that room at night. I said, why not? He said, they got ghosts in that room. I said, I don't care about any ghosts, man. I just want to set up my computers. I need some help. He said, nobody will go in there at night. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no, I'm not kidding you. All right, so I had to get it done because I had a convention the next morning. I had to get done. So I'm sitting on my computers, and I'm way in the back of the room, and at the front of the room, there was like a countertop, and on that countertop was a giant brass bowl. Oh, I guess, it was bigger in circumference than this pulpit is. And they had this big green plant, you know, kind of like these things. They weren't real, you know. Plastic stuff, you know. Silk stuff. And I was in the back working. Nobody's in the room. And here, kablam! And I looked up, and that thing had fallen off of that thing. Never in no way it could fall, right? And it, bang, bounced on that tile floor. And those flowers went all over the place. Boy, I felt every hair on my body. I knew where I could have counted them for you. I knew where they were. I thought, whoa, what is this? And my thought was, to get out of the room. But I had work to do, and I said, I don't know what, and I said this out loud, I said, I don't know what kind of ghost you are, but I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm not letting you have control over me. I got work to do. And I stormed up the front of that thing, went and grabbed that brass pipe, banged it on that counter, and I put them flowers back in it. They didn't look as good as they were originally. But I put it back in there, I said, you get out of here, you foul spirit, leave me alone, I got work to do. And I went back to work. Every once in a while, I'd look up just to see what was going on. But I tell you that story because there's only two kinds of ghosts in the world. There's the Holy Ghost and the evil ghost, and the Holy Ghost is stronger than the evil ghost. And you don't have to be afraid. But it will give you a chill every once in a while. You have Christ in you. that perfect love that casts out all fear. Okay. Third thing I want to bring up to you is you overcome fear by spiritual warfare. By spiritual warfare. Listen to this. This is from the book of Job, chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. A guy by the name of Eliphaz, who's a friend of Job, is giving him some bad advice. All right? And this is what he said, talking to Job. A word was secretly brought to me. My ear caught a whisper of it. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit guided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. Wow. What is that all about? I want you to know that there is normal fear. Normal in the sense of we have apprehension about things. It's good to have a fear of jumping off of a building. That's a good thing. Because otherwise you splat. You know? It's good to be a little apprehensive about a test in school. You know, especially if you didn't study very well. You know, some fear is good for us. I always have a little bit of apprehension. You wouldn't believe it out of all the years I've been doing it, when I get up to speak publicly and preach. I always have a little bit of apprehension, but it's good, but it helps me to do better. I prepare more so that I don't, you know, flub up when I come up here. So, you know, a little bit of fear is good. It's good to have fear of driving 130 miles an hour. You know, it's good. You know, tire could blow out, you know. Police might catch you, you know, and a lot of bad things could happen to you at 130 miles an hour. So there is that. But there's another kind of fear, and that fear is generated in hell itself. That's what this text is all about. There's a fear there that will come upon us that is generated by unholy things. Something I want you to notice. If you continue to live in fear, I want you to pay attention to me, all right? No sleeping on me right now. If you continue to live in fear, it will destroy your health. It'll destroy your health. Look what it says down here in verse 14. Fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. If you continue to live in fear, you will physically break down and you'll be sick. That's one of the reasons why we've got so many blooming psychiatrists, psychologists, every kind of drug you can imagine to try to quiet our fears so we can deal with life, because we're living in fear instead of living in faith. Amen. Now, I'm not opposed to drugs. You know that. You need to do what you got to do sometimes. But I'm saying that if you're perpetually living in fear, so much so that you can't operate in a drug-free zone, then you need to do something about that. Because it is making you sicker and sicker and sicker every day. That's where a lot of people, the Globe Ministry could attest to this. They're out on the streets. They've got people on the street. They're just absolutely out of their minds. It has to do with the fact they never were able to deal with fear that is coming to their life. Notice something about this origins of fear, all right? It comes as a whisper in your ear. Why is it a whisper in your ear? Because it's a lie. It's a lie. Hey, let me tell you what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You're not going to wake up. You're going to be dead in the morning. People believe that. They're afraid to go to sleep at night because they can believe they'd be dead in the morning. Fear whispers to them, tells them lies. Why do you think Jesus said that his sheep would know his voice and another wouldn't follow? Because there are voices that will speak to us that are unholy voices that will tell us lies, and we need to be wise enough and know God well enough that when we hear a whisper, it's the whisper of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, or it's the blasting of the voice of God in our ears, tell us what we need to know and how to follow Him and how to live. And to not believe the lies of the enemy. Stop believing the lies. They're not true. They're phobias. They're manufactured. They're unreasonable. It's not reasonable for you to live in fear. God has not created you to live in fear. He said over 600 times in the Scriptures, He dealt with fear. Don't fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Why this subject of fear brought up in the book of 1 John? Why is it in Timothy? Why is it in virtually every book of the Bible? Because we live in fear, and God wants us to get over this fear so that we won't be in fear any longer. It manifests itself as an evil spirit. What I ran into that night in the hotel was an evil spirit. That's what it was. It was a spirit from hell. Let me tell you what. There is no spirit that is stronger than the power of God that resides within a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to start learning how to use that power and that authority that God's given you, or you're going to live like hell the rest of your life.
Amen.
You need to take authority over things. Some of you are so meek and mild. You'll go down to a Saints game and scream like a banshee. Yeah, you go Saints! Go Drew! Go Drew! A devil come around who would like to kill you if he's good. And you said, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Why not use the authority you've got to use your voice and use what's in you and just shut it. Say, you get out of my life today. You're not going to be here and reside in me any longer and harass me any longer. I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must leave at the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that protects me. Say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you better start learning. For your good, not for mine, for your good, for your life, for your family. Talk about the church, that thing Jim read earlier about the church. The church is weak and anemic because the church has no faith and no power and no belief in God.
Amen.
We've gotten so comfortable.
Amen.
Everything just, oh, I'm going to church, hallelujah. You're going to sing a few songs, you know. Preacher's going to get us wound up our little clock and we're going to go away. And oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's not that easy. And you're living like hell in your life, and you've got no control over your life because you don't know the power of God that's been resides within you.
Yeah.
And you don't need any more than you already got. You have to use what you got.
That's right.
The disciples were afraid. They were in the boat. The boat's going to sink. Jesus is with them in the boat. How dumb can you be? You've got to be the stupidest guys on the planet. The Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, is in the boat with them. The storm kicks up. And they wake him up. We're afraid. And he says, what's the matter with you, knucklehead? Why are you afraid? If you had the faith, you know, this much faith, you could say to the sea to be quiet. And he got up and he said, peace, be still. And they went, whoa. How did he do that? How did he do that? He did it by the power that resides in him. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to tell you something. Don't get mad at me. Jesus didn't have any more power than you have. He said, the things that I've done, you'll do even greater things. There's only one Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that had Jesus is the same Holy Ghost that has you. It's not any different. The only difference is that he believed it and you don't. He used it and you don't. That's why we're in such trouble in our own personal lives. That's why our lives are in such turmoil. Our families are broken up. Our children are out of control. Everything's going right because we've never learned to pray. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about praying for your kids. You know, we have these little prayers. Oh, will you just protect Johnny and take care of him today? How's about that? You devil, you keep your hands off of my kids. You can't touch my daughter and my sons. They belong to me. I have the authority over them. God gave them to me, and I'm not going to let you touch my kids. When's the last time you prayed like that for your kids? Huh? When's the last time you wept and lamented for your children and fasted and prayed? Oh, God, just bless my kids. Will you just take care of them? And the devil could pray that prayer. Wouldn't do a thing for you. He said, oh, Oh, Morris, you're just going off the deep end this morning, you know? Yeah, you just get off. Yeah, come on, man. It's getting late. You know, why don't you let us go to lunch? You know, stop all this tomfoolery. It's not going to do me any good. As long as you believe that, it won't do you lick you good. But if you got trouble, if you're dealing with this issue of fear, you better pay attention to this preacher. I'm telling you the truth. You need to learn. You know what? I'd much rather be able to take care of myself in a fight than have to depend on you to take care of me. I'm telling you the truth. I'd rather depend on myself. Are you that way? Do you need to depend on somebody else to take care of you? And not able to take care of yourself? Your family? There's nobody can pray for a woman and a wife or children like a father of a house can. You have spiritual authority given to you. I didn't make that up. It says that a man is the head of his house. The guy who's in control. So like my daddy took me down the block, so he got that bully off my case. That was in the physical, but in the spiritual, to be able to do the same thing. Some of you are tormented by the devil and evil spirits, and you don't know how to do a thing to get rid of it. In the years that Pat and I served the Lord, and we had things going on in our house, we had people come in our house, Lord, I don't know what kind of spirits they had. Sometimes they'd leave out the house. And Pat, am I telling the truth? Virtually every time we had one of our evangelistic Bible studies in our home, when people would leave, we'd go to bed and we'd both feel, whoa, man, there's something wrong here. Somebody brought in something they wasn't supposed to bring in. Now, I'm messing with your theology, but I'm just telling you what we went through. We'd get up. We had so much oil on our house, I'm surprised it stayed on the foundation. We oiled every door, every window. We didn't know. Nobody told us how to do that. We just did it. We knew that oil is it sets things apart, and we set that house apart. It belongs to the Lord. We wouldn't let it do. We'd walk in. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes I'd walk into a room in my house, and boy, I could just feel something demonic going on. I just knew it. And I'd say, in the name of Jesus. And I wouldn't let it stop me from going in there. And I'd go in, and we'd put that oil on the window and on the doorpost. We'd say, you devil, you get out of my house. There's no place for you to reside here. I didn't have to go call somebody to do that for me, and I wasn't even a pastor. I'm just a regular old folk like you, younger folk at the time. You know, I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I've been working on a sermon for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now. Just really been just working away in me. Last night, about 3 o'clock, man, I woke up. Something bad was going on in my house. So, oh, just your imagination. I know my imagination. I know when things don't went right, and I knew there's some force that was trying to destroy my ability to come and bring this message to this morning, to put fear in me. That I'd be afraid to tell you some of the things I'm telling you this morning. I almost laughed. It was so scary and so funny at the same time. Yeah, the devil's so stupid to think he's going to get away with that in my house. You know? Like I said, the blood of Jesus covers me and protects me. The word of my testimony is that I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will not submit to any kind of evil force trying to rob me of what God called me to do. I'm going to sleep. And I had a peace. I rolled over and went to sleep. Didn't worry about it anymore. That happened. You know? That's the truth. Say, so, gee, Pastor, you're a pastor of church and you got those problems? Hey, everybody's got these problems. You do anything for the Lord, I guarantee you the devil's going to be on your case trying to slow you down.
That's right.
The other thing about this thing is that it's unholy. There were unholy things that would want to hurt you. Say, why would he want to hurt me? I'm not bothering him. Oh, yeah, you are. The day you said, Jesus, I believe in you and I accept you as my Savior, is the day you became a bother to the devil.
That's right.
And anything he could do to hurt you, he'd do it. And unfortunately, he gets away with a lot because we don't do anything to stop him. You say, well, why don't God just take care of him? Well, I don't make the rules. God told us to pray. He said he gave us the authority. Amen. That we would use the authority. And we would use the power. And we would use the love that is given to us. And we use the mind of Christ that we have. The only way to get rid of some things is to use spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish arguments. We demolish arguments and every evil, trying to do this with my glasses, every evil pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's the weapons of our warfare. And we need to learn how to use them. If you don't know God's word, you will lose the battle. Amen. You will lose the battle. Right. You'll be like that guy in that movie, The Untouchables, when he talked about a guy who brought a knife to a gunfight. That's exactly what we do. We bring a knife to a gunfight instead of bringing a cannon or a drone or something else. That we have authority in these things. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to challenge you to do something. I'm going to challenge you to memorize this passage of Scripture that I'm going to show you on the screen in just a minute. You say, oh man, that's too long and that's too hard. Have fun. Enjoy your life. Hope you like fear because you're going to live with it from now on. This is one of the most important things in the arsenal of a Christian is this passage of Scripture that I'm about to show you. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. This is the NIV. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. You know why you need the full armor of God? Because you're in a battle. It's a war. You say, well, I don't want to be in a war. Well, I'm sorry. You are. You are. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Do you know the truth? Have you got some kind of figment of what you think Christianity is? What do you know about this book? Did you even know this passage existed? Well, just memorize it. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Not your righteousness, Christ's righteousness. You have no righteousness of your own. But you have the righteousness of Christ. You are absolutely right with God. You don't need to be afraid. God's not out to get you. God's in love with you. God cares about you. That's the breastplate of righteousness, all right? And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In other words, you're ready. You're ready for a fight. You're ready to move. You're ready to do what you need to do. You got your shoes on. You can move. You're agile. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You lift up your shield of faith. You said, I believe God. I trust God. I believe the word of God. I'm not going to believe what I hear in my ears. I'm not going to believe what I see. I'm not going to believe the hairs of my body. I am going to believe the word of God that says I am a child of God, that God is with me, that I have authority, that I have power, that I have love, that I have a soundness of mind, that I have all that I need, that I am fully equipped. That is the shield of faith. Not the shield of foolishness, but the shield of faith. And it will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know what that gives me a picture of? That gives me a picture. There's a lot going on against you that you don't even know about. And these fiery darts will hit our life and knock us down if we don't use the shield of faith to stop it. It says, take the helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ, the helmet that protects you. One of the things that we noticed when we were down in Florida is Izzy, my granddaughter. She's got so many bumps on her head. I told Tiffany, I don't believe in helmets, but she needs a helmet. And Tiffany said, well, God gave her a hard head, skull, so she wouldn't hurt nothing on the inside. And I thought, that's pretty good. Well, that's what salvation does for you. It can't hurt nothing on the inside. You might get a few bumps and bruises, but you're okay. You've got the mind of Christ. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is your sword right here. This is what you need. You need to know this book, friends. You need to know what's in here. It's not that big a book. People make a big project of, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. You know, I'm not really impressed with that. I'm more impressed. Do you know what it says in the book of Ephesians? Why don't you try reading that 20 times in a year and see what it says? We try to get production out of the Word of God by speed reading it and not understanding a thing. You know, I could probably go to hell for what I'm about to say. But you know, I don't care about all them begets and begots. They don't do a thing for me. But this passage of Scripture in Ephesians does a lot for me. You know? I'm glad about Abraham and all the stuff they did and all the Levitical law and all that stuff, you know. It's in there for a reason for somebody other than me. It doesn't work for me. But I like this New Testament stuff. It works for me. It tells husbands how to love your wives, children how to obey, and it teaches me how to fight against the devil in fear. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now you can look at that a couple of ways. Because I'm charismatic, Pentecostal, tongue-talking guy, I believe it means if you know how to pray in tongues, you ought to pray in tongues. If you don't, just pray the best you can. You know? Just do what you can. Just use whatever you got. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gifts that are within you that you receive by the laying on of hands. Stir up the gifts. When's the last time you stirred up the gift of God within you? Look like some of that oil sludge out there in the Gulf of Mexico. It's got a globs of nothing. Stir it up. Refine it. Make gasoline out of it. Blow something up. That's what we need. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray when you're in trouble and pray when you're not in trouble. Let me tell you what, it's a lot easier to pray in the light than it is in the dark. It's a lot easier to pray when things are going good than when things are going bad. Pray while you can, while it's light. And I love the last one. It says, with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. In other words, you're praying for yourself. Pray for some of us too. We need your prayers. A guy said one time, you need the prayers. I need the prayers and you need the practice. Need your prayers. Now, I'll tell you what you can do, friends. I'm closing with this. You can walk out of here and say, oh man, the pastor's really wound up today. Woo, that was great. You know, I really like that. And you can walk out of here and just forget about it. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to memorize that passage of Scripture. I purpose in my heart to memorize that passage. You can have it done by Friday. You can have it done sooner than that if you're smart. I'm not smart enough to learn by Friday. I mean, by tomorrow. You know, it'd take me a week to learn it all. And you'd have it in your heart. And when fear comes along, you could quote it. You could quote that Scripture. I'm dressing myself in the full armor of God. I'm putting on that belt of truth. I've got my feet shod with the gospel of righteousness. You know, I've got my breastplate on. I'm bad looking. I got my helmet on. I got the sword. And I'm praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Or English or whatever else you can pray. Pray in French, German, anything else you need to. Pray in faith, the prayer of faith. Thank you. And I guarantee you things will be different in your life and in your family's life if you do that. This is truth. This is truth. You know, it says we want to know the truth. Now, when we have this proof of life, and if you're living in fear, you are not living the life that God wants you to have. You're not living in the faith that God wants you to have. So do this for yourself and for your family. Next week, we'll be tackling another very insignificant subject, the spirit of Antichrist. I'm going to try to do it in one sermon. People write books about it. I'm going to try to do it in one sermon. But Lord willing, that's what we'll talk about next week as we hopefully will be closing out this series. If you want to know more about this, If you need special prayer, you know, special, come up here on Wednesday night because we're going to go through it in some more detail. I hadn't begun to cover this subject, but we'll do this Wednesday night in a much more informal setting where you can ask questions and we can have a better dialogue. This is mostly one-way communications for me to you via the Holy Spirit. But I'd encourage you to come. Don't let the devil get the victory over your life. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your word because your word is truth. Lord, we've heard this morning by the Holy Spirit speaking to each of our hearts is the word of truth. Lord, deliver us from fear of every kind. Lord, break the power of fear over our lives. Lord, set us free. Let us be free. Like the psalmist said, let us be free like a bird that escapes the trap of the fowler, the one who captures birds, Lord. Let us be free. Let us fly with eagle's wings, Lord, through the life that you've given to us. Lord, we submit ourselves to you this morning. Submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit that from today on, things will be different in our lives. I want you to pray out loud after me. Heavenly Father, right now, today, I renounce fear. I will not be afraid. I have faith in you. I trust you. I believe in you. And Lord, if I feel fearful, I rebuke it because I want to have faith. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I believe you have help for me. And right now, I submit my life to you. I give you all my fears. I lay them at the cross. And I resolve that today things will be different in my life. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Father, you've heard the confession of our mouth. Lord, let this things be true in our lives today and for the rest of our lives. We thank you, Lord. I proclaim your blessings upon these people, that they'll be blessed wherever they go. Wherever they go in their life, they will be blessed and victorious and free from the fear that the devil has generated. In the name of Jesus, you are dismissed in God's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming.